In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Absolutely lovely to be here with you this morning. I was just saying, kind of in the back areas, I don't know how you can do penitence in a church like this. It's just all glorious, particularly when the sun's flooding through. If you want a bit of gloom, come across to Southwark Cathedral at the moment. We've got a massive black cloud hanging in the chancel, our Lent art installation called Doubt. And it really is, it changes the atmosphere in the chancel completely. So if you want to get away from all this sunshine and brightness, come across the river to South London and you'll experience a bit of something different. Anyway, I wonder if you remember anything of your confirmation classes. I remember distinctly arriving as an 11-year-old in the vicar's study where our classes took place. "Now," said Father to us, "I hope that you all want to be confirmed and that you haven't been sent here by your parents." "No, Father," we all replied, and I joined them in this response, but remembering all too vividly the tantrum I'd had only half an hour earlier in my bedroom as I protested to my mom about being sent to confirmation class. But despite the trauma that I was obviously going through, I do remember learning some significant things, and one of them is the definition of a sacrament from the Catechism in the prayer book. Those who have been confirmed for a few years might also remember it. Question: what meanest thou by this word sacrament? Answer: I mean an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. And the answer continues: an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. It's a simple but profound definition that we should always have with us in our Christian knapsack. An outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. Quite simply, a sacrament is an expression of the covenant relationship we have with God, a relationship that's built not upon law, as was the old covenant, but a relationship that's built upon grace, the free, overflowing, unmerited, sheer, beautiful love of God. Sacraments are streams of grace which flow into the life of the church and into the lives of individuals, into our lives. Outward expressions of an inward reality, signs of the covenant relationship that has been established with God through Jesus. And it's that covenant relationship which is clearly highlighted in the readings set for today. The Old Testament reading from the book of Genesis took us back to the very first covenant that was established between God and humankind. When God saw what he had done, sending the flood waters to destroy all that lived, he vowed never to do the same again. And so the story goes that he set a rainbow in the sky as a reminder to both him and to us that never again would he wreak havoc and destruction on the earth. Sacramental signs are for our benefit. We rely on our senses to understand the world about us, and these senses feed our intellect. So the outward sign provides a focus for our understanding of God's action and our covenant relationship with him. But the sentence that concluded the story could be applied to any of the sacraments given to the church. This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. The water of baptism, the bread and wine of the Eucharist, and the outward signs associated with the other five sacraments are pointers to the covenant of grace between God and all that lives. The church always draws our attention on this first Sunday in Lent to the experience of Jesus in the wilderness, to the story of the temptations. And in many ways, it becomes the overriding motif for the 40-odd days that follow. It's Matthew and Luke who provide the details of the story, the description of the temptations with which Jesus was faced as he embarked on his public ministry. It's they who open up for us the inner struggles that no doubt faced our Lord at this critical moment, as his life could have taken a number of directions. Mark, though, doesn't do this. Instead, what we're given, and this is in fact where Mark chooses to begin his gospel as a whole, what we're given is a description of the beginning of Jesus' ministry. At first sight, there doesn't seem to be much that's sacramental in the gospel that we just heard. The reference to baptism mustn't, of course, confuse us. This was John's baptism, not the sacrament by which we were incorporated into Christ. But there's more to the sacramental covenant life than is contained in the seven sacraments that we celebrate within the life of the Church. God works with us through his sacraments, but he's in no way contained by them, limited by them, restricted by them in his grace-filled actions with humankind. The 17th century French Jesuit, Jean-Pierre de Caussade, is principally remembered for his book, Abandonment to Divine Providence. That book contains many gems about the spiritual life, but one in particular. He refers in what he says to what he calls the sacrament of the present moment. Of this sacrament, de Caussade wrote, "There is nothing trivial about our passing moments, as they enclose the whole kingdom of holiness and the food on which angels feed. Even in the wilderness, every moment was for Jesus a manifestation of divine love. Even in the wilderness, he was conscious of being held by God and fed by angels. In the wilderness, despite the attempts of the devil, Jesus sets his heart on the kingdom, and from the wilderness he sets out, telling people that the kingdom of God is very near." Jesus knew that no moment was devoid of God, no moment in which his Father was not present to him, powerfully, transformingly, in signs, in people, in words, in possibilities. Everything was shot through with the powerful and real presence of God in every single moment. And de Caussade is reminding us that this is our reality, that even time itself is part of this covenant, sacramental relationship with God, through which grace flows. The clock in our room, the watch on our wrist, the digits on the phone, are as much a sacramental sign of the God who exists in the now moment as anything else in this sacramental world. From the days of the flood, through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, through the life of the Church, grace has been assured through this covenant relationship that has been established between God and ourselves, a commitment to one another, a contract founded in love and sealed in death and in life, a means by which grace is channeled into our lives at every critical juncture and every critical moment, in the trivial moment, in the present moment, in the now of God. From the time when we were born to the time we die, in the wilderness and in the place of plenty, when we're crying and when we're laughing, grace flows abundantly and freely. And now, as we gather to celebrate this sacrament, this Eucharist, as we gather to share the meal which, as the Catechism states, feeds the soul and feeds the body, we experience grace and blessing abundantly. It's as though God, regretting the flood that destroyed, now creates a flood which gives life. For we live in a world flooded by grace, and we live every grace-filled moment buoyed up by the immeasurable goodness of God, carried along on a torrent of grace. As another Jesuit, Gerard Manley Hopkins, wrote, "The world is charged with the grandeur of God. Even in the wilderness, even in the trivial moment, and supremely when the outward and visible speaks of the inward and spiritual, and bread and wine become body and blood for hungry and often tempted people."